So all of these Eucharistic miracles were investigated by the Vatican, and they compiled them all together as ones that have been investigated and approved. So they're okay for us to believe if in our prudential judgment we choose to believe that these things actually happened. So the Vatican has investigated all of these. But not all of these happened in the Vatican. Like I said, this last one that I mentioned was in Poland. The other one was in Italy, but not in Rome. So we have three aisles with six tables of these poster boards. And then we also have a table off to the side that identifies different countries and all the little places in those countries where those miracles took place. Any other questions? Yes. 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 So this collection is not only available on these poster boards, it's available online if you go to therealpresence.org and then click on Eucharistic Miracles. All of these things are available online there. They have it itemized by country. And so you can look at the country, select the city, and then you can read about it. It has the same information as the poster boards. But maybe you're not too tech savvy. And so if you prefer not to have to look for it online, there are also hard copies. All of these miracles have been collected together into a catalog. It's in a book form, the Eucharistic Miracles of the World. And some of them are available at the table over there. Any other questions?
So what is the pinnacle point of the Mass for the bread becomes the...
Excellent question. What is the pinnacle point at Mass where the bread becomes the body? So it's at the moment where the priest says the words, "This is my body." And then for the precious blood to become precious blood, for the wine to become precious blood, he says, "This is the chalice of my blood." So the priest was ordained. And his ordination comes from a bishop. The bishops were ordained by other bishops all the way back to the apostles. The apostles became priests or bishops by Jesus Christ himself. So he gave them the power to celebrate the Mass. He gave them the power to change bread and wine into his body and blood. And that power was transferred down through the ages by the sacrament of holy orders. And so when the priest... During the Eucharistic prayer, there's what's called the epiclesis. He holds his hands over the offerings. He's calling upon the Holy Spirit. That's the beginning of the process. But when it's finally actually completely God is when we hear those words, "This is my body and this is the chalice of my blood." So at that moment, that's why the priest holds those things up for us to see. Because now it's no longer bread. It's the God of the universe. And so he's held up to be adored by all the faithful present. Likewise, when the precious blood when the wine becomes precious blood, the priest holds up the chalice for all to see, because now it's no longer wine, it's the God of the universe. Good question. Any other questions? I looked through the Eucharistic miracles here, and I do not recall seeing any in the United States either. It could be that the ones that have happened in the United States have not yet been fully investigated. I have heard of at least one case that's under investigation currently in the United States. But not every time someone claims that this is happening does it actually happen. So, for example, I had heard of one case where somebody claimed of a bleeding host. They investigated. It turned out it was just red fungus on the host, not human blood. So we have to be careful. That's why the church is cautious, not so quick to declare, like, this is a miracle, but rather, let's look into this. Let's see, is this actually something miraculous that's happened here, or does it only look like something that could be miraculous? That's why the church always investigates. Off the top of my head, I'm not aware of any approved Eucharistic miracles in the United States of America. Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah, thank you. You said Eucharist is the real Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So Jesus comes to anyone gifts. So, but we hear of places where people are not allowed to receive Jesus in the Eucharist. So, is there somebody who can deny somebody else the access of the Eucharist? Like, we hear from the news people being denied to receive the Eucharist.
Excellent question. So, yes, we do believe Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. We do believe that Jesus wants to be with everyone. So why is it then that some people are denied the Eucharist? Well, Jesus Christ in a special way is present in the Eucharist. Jesus is God. God is everywhere. God is in everything. Jesus is with us right now in his divinity. So he is already present in a way here. He's present in a very unique and special way in the Eucharist. He's present body, blood, soul, and divinity. The way that God is present all over the universe is in his divinity in as much as he is God. But as human beings, we have limitations. We can't be in the same place at the same time. I mean, in different places at the same time. We have physical limitations. So what makes the Eucharist special, what makes it unique compared to God in general, is that we also have the sacred humanity of Christ present. So when we say this is the body of Christ, and we see in these miracles it actually turns to human flesh, Jesus is present not only in his divinity, but also in his humanity, a way that he's not present all over the universe, in his humanity. So Jesus wants to be with everybody. Why then is he denied in the Eucharist to some people? Well, that would be because the Eucharist is Jesus Christ, but not everybody believes that. So for those that don't believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, they shouldn't receive him, because receiving him in the Eucharist is saying with your very actions that you do believe that he is present in the Eucharist. And so if you don't believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist, then receiving him is in your actions saying a lie. And because Jesus really is present in the Eucharist, if you do receive him, and you just kind of ignore that reality, it's kind of like someone coming to your door, knocking on the door, and you open the door and just walk away and pretend that they're not there. Jesus Christ, when he revealed himself to St. Faustina in the 1950s, she's a Polish nun, one of the many things that he told her, and you can see this in her diary, is how much he laments the fact that people treat him, his presence in the Eucharist, as a dead object. How much he mourns and suffers because people do not recognize him in the Eucharist. How disappointed he is that they would receive him so casually as if he was nothing more than a piece of bread. Okay, what about those who are Catholic, who do believe that Jesus is present in the Eucharist? Why are they sometimes denied the Eucharist? Those who are separating themselves from the Church by seriously wrong moral acts, by mortal sin, and by refusing to repent of it, they have already separated themselves from God by their choice, by their moral actions, by choosing to support grave evils. Then the church officials may say, you know, you have already decided that you don't want to be a part of the Catholic Church because you're doing these things that are really wrong, and we've told you, and we're asking you to repent, and you refuse to do so. And so because you have separated yourself, you cannot receive Holy Communion. No one is supposed to receive Holy Communion if they are in a state of mortal sin. That is, if you have committed something that's seriously wrong, you knew that it was seriously wrong, you chose to do it anyway, then you are choosing to separate yourself from God. Receiving Holy Communion is a sign of union with God that brings about union with God. But if you're separated from God by serious sin, you're not in union with God. You're not in union with the rest of the church. And so to receive Holy Communion is a lie. To receive Holy Communion in a state of mortal sin is another mortal sin. It's just making life for yourself actually quite worse. And St. Paul talks about that in, I think it was 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he tells the people who are suffering that one of the reasons they're suffering so badly is because they are receiving the Holy Eucharist unworthily. They have serious sin on their hands, and they have not repented, but they're receiving Jesus anyway. And so, as a natural consequence, they are suffering greatly from it. So why is it then that we refrain? We tell people they can't receive Holy Communion? Well, if St. Paul tells us that we suffer greatly when we receive Holy Communion in a state of serious sin, it's actually a form of protection, telling people, if you're in a state of serious sin, don't receive the Eucharist. Like, that's bad news for you. Bad things are going to happen to you. So don't do it. So for those reasons, even though Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist and he wants to be with everyone, for those reasons, sometimes people are not allowed to receive. Thank you for that question. Any others? All right. Thank you, everyone. Please take advantage of all of these displays that are available. We'll be open until 9 p.m. Thank you.